That's 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody. How are you today on a Monday? Jim and Trent say hello to you. And all you can always join the program at 264-1700. Again, that's 264-1700. A lot to cover today. The losses by the state's basketball teams of UNI, Iowa State, and Iowa. The winning of by Drake. The coaches' firings. The big game tonight in college football. And new coaches in new places. Trent, how are you, pal? How was your weekend?
Oh, pretty good. A busy one. A lot of good sports on. Kept things interesting. NFL delivered in some ways, others not so much, including your Buffalo Bills. Good God, taking football back a long, long ways. But you're right. We got a lot to get into here today. It all capped off last night with Iowa on the road at Maryland. And, well, more of the same for this Hawkeye team. Iowa State takes another loss yesterday afternoon. UNI takes another loss, and those Drake Bulldogs, the Bulldogs keep winning games, Jimmy B, just like we had it before the year.
Absolutely. This is officially now a Bulldog state, so I think everybody who's a Drake fan should celebrate that. Okay, let's start with what took place last night at Maryland. Look, I get where fans, Hawk fans, are hanging their hat on the bad officiating, and it was, and McCaffrey getting tossed. But, Trent, if you look at that game in the second half, Iowa commits 19 turnovers overall. They cannot stop Maryland around the paint at all. And it was disaster again. Look, this is a team which is struggling, can't seem to get a handle, particularly now in the second half. That's where the collapses seem to take place. And it's very frustrating. I get where it was a rough and tumble game, but hey, you get that in the Big Ten, and that does happen. But the officials last night did not cost Iowa the game. The shabby defense and lack of scoring late in the second half did that. And look, I know McCaffrey gets teed up. He hasn't been teed up, though, roughly in about four seasons, so that's a plus. But Trent, you know as well as I do that his reputation for the way that he does explode. I thought, this is the way I viewed it, I thought when he initially started mouthing off, that got him the first tee, and then another official at the other end when McCaffrey ran out almost all the way to midcourt and he had to be restrained by the coaching staff, I think that's probably what got him the second tee and the ouster. Did you see it that way, or did you have something different?
Well, usually when you see a situation like that, the ref will know if a first tee has been administered. And it didn't look like the ref that saw the second technical called the second technical saw the first one being called. So I think that's where the spot was. Was a second technical warranted in that situation? Probably not. There wasn't anything extra from what was happening. But this leads down the road of the frustration I know from a lot of people of Fran McCaffrey. And it's something where he does not know how to control his emotions. And it's not about being fiery. I have no problem with that. It's not about him getting behind his players. He absolutely, in fact, he should have been on the floor the possession before when Cordell Pemsel got hit in the head, got hit with a flagrant elbow. Cohen should have been ejected of the game. That's the time when you see that you go on the floor, that you get them to look at that. That's when you lose your mind. Not when Bohannon's getting bumped, but this is what happens with Fran McCaffrey, and he cannot control his emotions in a way. Yes, coaches across sport, in basketball, from the high school level to college to the NBA, there are certain times where they get a technical to try to get their team going, to try to do something. It is almost scripted in a way. I remember when Kansas was up playing at Ames a couple of years back, and right away the first, I think it was 3 minutes into the game, Bill Self got a technical right away in that game. And he wanted to send a message both to the refs and to his players about that environment and what they were going to have to do. It was very calculated. Fran McCaffrey's technicals, for the most part, are not calculated. They're him losing his mind at certain points. He is not as good as Tom Izzo at working referees. He's not John Calipari or Mike Krzyzewski. He is not at that vein of working referees. Those guys do it in a specific way. And many times throughout the course of a whole game, they're much more demonstrative. They are after the referees over the course of 40 minutes a lot more than Fran McCaffrey is. The problem is Fran McCaffrey, he goes up to DEFCON 10, and he does it in a split second. And that's the problem. You cannot react that way. The national perspective is wrong. Oh, look, Fran McCaffrey's doing this again. Because over the last 4 years, it hasn't been. The problem is, when he does reach that level, it's not just a slow simmer getting to the point and finally hitting a boiling point. It goes from not saying anything or just making a couple quips to completely losing his mind. You can't do that. As a coach, you just can't do that. And it's no wonder that this basketball team, year after year after year, when something bad happens to them, that they collapse. Not just in the course of a game, and they struggle in late-game situations, and we know the record and how poor it is in tight games down the stretch. That's not a stretch to understand what a guy that reacts that way, his teams follow a similar path. But also the fades that they have year after year after year when one bad basketball happens. It's not that they go on a 2-3-game losing streak or are able to pull it out. It's 6, 7, 8 games in a row. That's what we see out of this team continually, year after year. It's not a big surprise when your head coach reacts this way and just doesn't know how to control himself.
I'm with you 100%, and we all know that his reputation for that precedes him as he enters the building. So officials are aware of what it has been in the past. The thing that I'm struggling with, Trent, help me out here, okay? Because you've watched it through all of the years, through the 80s, 90s, and into the 2000s closely.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember a time where I had seen a team that, like McCaffrey has, where his team goes dead in the water and the other team runs off like a 19-2 run like they did last night. For some reason, teams seem to make, at least this season right now, in which we're witnessing, seem to make monster runs, and it's generally in the second half, and it generally puts the game away. Can you got anything on that?
No. I mean, this is
okay.
This is a problem with him. This is his teams, and
all right,
a problem that crops up with him. No, this isn't anything historically that this is always Iowa basketball, and they have problems like this. Though, I do get a kick out of the growing sentiment that Fran McCaffrey is on the hot seat, or that he has to deliver next year, or his job needs to be in jeopardy. I think we have people that have a distorted view of what Iowa basketball was, what Iowa basketball as a program is. Now let's just look at the Big Ten and look at them in their spot of the 14-team league. All right, now we know Michigan State, that is a national-level program. They have kind of separated themselves to another level compared to the rest of their conference brethren. But then from there, take a look across. Purdue, Michigan, Ohio State, Maryland, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin. These are all programs that I believe is a better job than Iowa. So how many teams did I mention there? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams, along with Michigan State, that's 7. So, best case scenario, Iowa's what? The 8th, 9th best job in the Big Ten?
Yeah, right in there.
Another thing that is parroted out there, and people, well, you know, under Dr. Tom, they made the NCAA tournament every single year. Well, no, they didn't. And in fact, he made it just for reference. 9 out of 13 seasons, he made the NCAA tournament, a pretty good percentage. But also remember, he took over a team with George Raveling's recruits that took them to the number one ranking in the country his first year. During that time period, though, after that moved on, they made 6 NCAA tournaments over a 10-year stretch. Lute Olson, now we're going back before the 64-team bracket was out there, but those teams had many years where they missed the NCAA tournament. George Raveling missed the NCAA tournament. Steve Alford then took over that program. He only made 3 tournaments in 8 seasons. We know Todd Licklider, he couldn't get, the only way he was going to an NCAA tournament is buying a ticket. But I think there's this thought out there that the Iowa program and that Iowa basketball is at just a higher spot than it actually is. This guy's made 3 of the last 4 NCAA tournaments. They're not going to make it this year. It's 3 out of 5. You know what that is? That is exactly on par with what Dr. Tom Davis is. And I think that's missed on too many people. Is this year frustrating? Absolutely. This is going to be the first year, though, when you look at the season as a whole, that is going to be a big disappointment in the Fran McCaffrey era. Over an 8-year period, that's pretty good. That's pretty good when 1 out of 8 years turns out to be a huge disappointment from what the expectations are. Now, going into next year, it has to get better. They have to find a way to be a better team defensively. This team is awful on the defensive end. One thing that I suggested, Jimmy B., is that with the depth that they have in the forward court and all those power forwards and centers that they have, outside of Tyler Cook, who you need to keep on the floor, every one of those guys, when they're in the game, when somebody gets blown by and a guard's getting ready to give up another layup, when they're going in for that easy layup, don't let it happen. Ryan Kreener, go and hit the guy and make him earn the 2 free throws. And Cordell Pemsel and Luka Garza and Jack Nungi and Ahmad Wagner and on and on and on. Every single one of those guys. If there's a time where you're not going up and making a play at the rim and trying to block a shot and at least making the guy earn it with 2 foul shots, then you're pulled out of the game because we got plenty of guys. And that is something that you can add to this team. This is a dimension that you can add to the team because they're not going to suddenly become a great defensive team. That's not going to happen overnight. That is something that needs to be worked on with this team, figuring out with the roster that you have what you can build on the defensive end. That's not going to happen in season. But what you can do is have a little gumption, a little know-how, a little power to your game. Bring that adage in there knowing, you know what, we're not going to be good defensively, but we're at least going to make you earn it somehow.
Are you disappointed with what you hear in his post-game news conference when he says it's not defense, it's the offense?
No, because in a way that's true. This is never going to be a great defensive team, and to be able to set up what they want to do defensively, set up 3-quarter court press, those kind of things, they have to be efficient at the offensive end. And when things are going haywire, that's a big part of it, is the offense, it just goes into the tank. The offense is not able to get good shots, they're not able to finish, and that is a part of it. So knowing the way they're built, I understand you. People, it's easy to point at and say, oh, how can you say that? This is a team terrible defensively. But if they're not good offensively, they're not going to win any games because of the way that they're built. So I completely understand what he's saying. I understand it's an easy to take a shot at that. But no, I completely understand where Fran's coming from that. They have to be good offensively. They're not winning any games if they're not.
I agree with you 100%. They just have to outscore opponents because they're not going to stop anybody. Okay, take me then to Iowa State and their loss on the road at Oklahoma State. And once again, this came down to trying to, you know, stay in the game late in the game. Iowa State couldn't do it. Oklahoma State pulls away. Iowa State still winless in conference play.
You know, for the second time this season, going back to Monday night against Texas, it just felt like one that got away. It felt like a game that they had. They outplayed Oklahoma State for big stretches. After they got down early in the game, the big run to come back and to have the lead at the half, that was very impressive out of this squad. But you know, it's a roster that they need Lindell Wigginton to play better. They just do. They need him. He's 4-21 shooting over the last two games. They can't afford that. Donovan Jackson is the only guy that was really hitting shots from the outside. They need more from that group, you know, from those two guards going forward. Wyler Babb's doing his thing. Hey, they're a better team when they have the full complement. Tally was out there. Brace was out there. Those guys, I think, are going to continue to help. They got to get a little something out of either Lewis or Long. It doesn't have to be both of the guys, but one of them have to be able to give them something. It's a rebuild. It's a rebuilding year. And now that everybody realizes that, I started to buy in a little bit before conference play. That was fool's gold, as we know. This team is, it's a rebuilding season, but there's hope. You know, Michael Jacobson's going to help them next year. He's going to add another dimension defensively for them. We know what a good shot blocker he is, and I'm going to guess that he is going to continue to add to his repertoire. Didn't shoot a ton of three-pointers when he was at Nebraska, but I saw him play at the high school level. He can shoot it from the outside. He's going to help. We know about what they're going to get out of Mariel Shayok, a guy that can score in a big way. Maybe took some ill-advised shots for Tony Bennett, and I think that's why he was looking to play for a different coach and a different system in his final year. The guy's a chucker. I mean, he likes to go out there, and he likes to get his shots, but they need that. They need more scoring punch for this team. It's a rebuilding year. You're looking for small signs. There's going to be frustrating moments, But there is hope for this team. There's hope that the class coming in next year is going to help out. The guys that will be returning next year are going to help out. Though it was frustrating, you know, letting, what was it, an 8-point lead with 3 minutes left, letting that go, that's frustrating. Getting out to a quick 5-run-nothing spurt to begin overtime, and you give that up, those are frustrating components. But realizing this is a rebuilding year, the wins are going to be difficult to find in this conference, game in and game out, the difficult slog that you're in, but know that there are brighter things, and there's going to be brighter things happening right away next season.
I agree with you 100%. This is a total rebuild. You're just going to have to deal with it if you're an Iowa State fan, and just wait till next season when Shayok and Jacobson are available. And you are right about Jacobson. Legit 6'9", and can flat jump and defend and score. He is going to really be one of the top players for Iowa State next season. But it's, once again, what fans are used to, Trent. They have made the tournament year after year after year after year, and yet now you still see dopes out there attempting to blame Fred Hoiberg, 3 years removed, for the woes of this team. It's tragic that fans go in that direction. They just don't get it, and it's just one of those days. It's one of those years where it is indeed a rebuild. Is there talent for Iowa State on the floor? Yes, there is. But it is not good enough talent to compete with what many people believe is far and away the best basketball conference in the nation. And if you check the latest AP poll, the Texas Tech Red Raiders are now in the top 10. So it just gives you an indication. I mean, they already went to Kansas and won. This TCU is ranked. Mm-hmm. Kansas is ranked. It just goes on and on. Oklahoma's ranked. It goes on and on how good this conference is, Trent.
Game in and game out. You got to be ready. And yeah, got to be ready tomorrow night down in Lawrence, a place that, well, they won it a year ago, two in a row. Does not appear likely. We'll take a timeout here. Speaking of that Associated Press poll that you mentioned, Jim, John Bonekamp, our next guest, he's a voter in the AP poll.
He is.
And with all the losses this week, I'm sure it was a difficult task. We'll talk to John about that a little bit, get his thoughts on the Hawkeyes, and a whole lot more coming up next here as we take you up until 6 o'clock. It's Jimmy B and TC on 1700 KBGG.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber
and Brandon Tierney.
We are Tiki and Tierney, giving you the big scoop on all the games. Afternoons on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG. Boom.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Greater Des Moines Habitat for Humanity's new ReStore is now open in Urbandale. Donations of home improvement items to ReStore are sold to the public to support Habitat's mission of building homes, communities, and hope. So donate, shop, and volunteer at your nearest ReStore on East Euclid or in Urbandale.
Sponsored by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere.
Attention shoppers, cleanup on aisle 14. Cleanup on aisle 14. Someone dropped a jar of pickles. Kosher pickles.
Beatboxing at a big box store. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
A red minivan has the lights on in the parking lot.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. Grasshopper.com/radio.
It costs $15 per day to provide the necessary shelter, food, and veterinary care for every animal at the Animal Rescue League of Iowa. And right now we have over 1,000 animals in our care. For as little as $5 a month, you can join our Loyal Friends Club to ensure that the ARL will continue to be there for animals in need. The need is now. The need is local. Visit arl-iowa.org/donate to start giving today. Thank you.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines. We're online, washersystems.com.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy V and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. It's a Monday here in the capital city. We say hello to you. Always good when we have a chance to have a conversation with John Bonenkamp. We told you just before the commercial break that John is a Associated Press voter, so we'll kind of get into that with him as well. John, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
We're doing great, John. Trent and I, we just wanted to pick your brain a little bit since you are an AP voter. How difficult was it with all of the upsets that took place over the weekend in college basketball to cast your ballot?
Oh, it was terrible because, I mean, you know, you start to think, well, okay, so, you know, before yesterday, you know, early yesterday morning, I'm thinking, well, Michigan State's going to be number one. Well, then they lose. So, I mean, it was just, you looked at so many teams that lost at least one game this week. And I mean, that's become a pattern every week. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed, you know, this would be the time of year when it started to become hard to find teams at the bottom of the poll. I was that way in early December. I mean, that's just how much parity there is right now in the game. Is it's really kind of hard to identify teams that, you know, and it's even now getting hard to identify teams that are in the top 10 because you think teams are top 10 and they lose twice, you know. And, you know, look at Texas A&M, look at, you know, some of those kind of teams that were really good 3 weeks ago and now are really struggling.
John, who'd you go with at the top spot? Three teams received number one rankings. Villanova is number one. They got 52 of the votes. West Virginia with 12. And Virginia also checked in with the number one vote. Who did you vote at the top of your poll?
I had Villanova. I had that top three, which, again, that's because I'm wise.
Right, yes.
But, and you know that.
Yes.
So, but no, I had Villanova at number one. So, again, you could have made a case for either of those three to be number one because, I mean, those are the ones that have been kind of survivors so far. And, you know, everybody else is starting to get some warts now, and those three really have kind of stood out and have been able to survive this long to get to that point.
Having a conversation with John Bonenkamp right here on the Big Talker 1700. All right, John, let's kind of dive in then to the state of Iowa's college basketball scene. And it pretty much stinks with the exception of Drake, which is the only team that even has wins in conference play. Let's start with the Hawkeyes and with what transpired last night. Your thoughts on now where this team is in its, I guess, in this season.
They just have to start winning games. And I mean, the way to do that is play defense. And they really haven't shown that this year. And, you know, defense is a mindset. And, right, and for whatever reason, and I mean, you know, and this has been a problem with some other teams over, you know, during Fran McCaffrey's times, is that they haven't been really good defensive teams. They've been, you know, they've had really good offensive teams, but they haven't been really good defensive teams. And this one is really showing that it just right now can't stop anybody. And yeah, they're missing shots, but, you know, defense can stop runs very easily. And right now they don't know what they are right now defensively, if they're a man-to-man team, if they're a zone team, you know, whatever they are. They just don't have a defensive identity.
You know, one thing that I've suggested, John, out of this team is to be a little bit more aggressive. They have depth. They have guys that can throw up there up front. And if the guards are getting beat, at least make the teams earn it at the free throw line here. And I would say if I was Fran McCaffrey, if you're not doing that, outside of probably Tyler Cook, who you have to keep on the floor, then you're coming to sit next to me. Show some physicality at the very least.
You know, that is the thing that's gotten me, is that there have been a lot of very easy layups. And, you know, and there are guys that are close by. And, you know, the only guy that I've ever seen put anybody down in the last couple of games was Nicholas Bayer against Ohio State, and that came late in the game. Go back to, you know, I was talking about this the other night. Go back to, and all you need to do is watch the 30 for 30s on ESPN. Go back to the Big East one and watch those Georgetown teams from the 80s. Go back to the Pistons one and look how the Detroit Pistons play. I'm not saying you have to be dirty, but I'm saying you have to be a little bit more physical than what they've been right now. And you've got, like you said, make teams earn it. Don't just give them easy baskets. And that's part of the problem right now. It goes back to the mentality thing, is you have to have the mentality that you're going to shut somebody out. And, you know, whether that means you put them at the line, whether that means, you know, you play a, you know, whatever kind of defense, but you have to start shutting people out.
John, the only way Iowa could even make the NCAA tournament would be to win the Big Ten Conference tournament. Do you still see them, if they right the ship at least a little bit, making the NIT?
Yeah, I mean, but they have to. They can't get below 500. They can't get, you know, they can't really lose too many more games to have that opportunity. And I mean, it starts Thursday night at Illinois. That's a road game against a team that hasn't played well this year. Hasn't played well at home. They almost lost to Grand Canyon at home a couple weeks ago. You know, this is. You know, there's an opportunity there to go on a run, but again, you got to start stopping people. You're not going to be able to. And I know it's always funny to say this. You're not going to be able to just outscore people. You're not going to. You know, if you're going to score 85 points, the other team can't score 9. And that's been kind of what's been happening lately. They've been able to score enough points to win. They're just giving up too many, and they end up losing games. So again, bottom line is they just have to start stopping people.
Talking with John Bonenkamp, taking a look at the Hawkeyes, an 0-5 start in the Big Ten. And the other part of this is just looking at your AP poll over at thehawkeye.com, part of the Burlington Hawkeye. Well, you got two teams up there from the Big Ten. You got Michigan State, you got Purdue. But after that, this isn't a very good conference. You're 0-5, and you had winnable games on top of that. That's another cause for concern.
Right, and I mean, that's the thing. It's like you had Michigan at home, you had Ohio State at home. Those are games that if you want to get to a postseason tournament, you have to win. Now, I know Ohio State beat Michigan State yesterday at home, which was cool. It was a nice win for them. It's a good team. But if you are a good team, you have to beat those teams at home. And, you know, you're now going to get an, you know, you play Illinois, you play Rutgers. There are some teams there to get some wins, but you've got to start, you've got to get something going here. You can't, you know, and part of the problem is, and I know other people have discussed this, part of the problem is that there is no alpha on this team. There is no leader. There is no, you know, in the past, they've always had that senior leader, whether it's Aaron White or whether it's Peter Jock or Devin Marble or Matt Gaten, Jared Cole, whoever. You had senior leadership, and this team doesn't have that. So now the question becomes, who steps up and is the guy that challenges these teams? I think it's got to be Tyler Cook, and I think he's starting to do a good job of that, but he's going to have to get more support, I think, from other guys. There has to be some leadership here, I think, and that has to start coming out pretty soon.
John, this is a question that will come up, I guess, probably for the remainder of the season. Is it time to shorten the bench a little bit? And instead of worrying about guys getting minutes playing 11 or 12 guys, is it time to shorten it to 8 or 9?
I think you kind of saw that a little bit last night, and I think you're going to see it again. But this is what I would say to guys like Ahmad Wagner, to Brady Ellingson, to Dom Ewell, some of those guys. And I go back to the theme of what I've been saying earlier. If you want to play, you've got to be the stopper. You have to be the defensive guy. So I think for guys to earn minutes right now, they have to play good defense. I do think eventually you're going to see this get down to 9 guys. He may play 10. You may see 10 in the box score, but in the second half, you may only see 7 or 8. So I think that's kind of where this is trending. That's kind of the way it went last night. And I think as this goes on, I think you're going to start to see if you want to play, you're going to have to play defense.
All right, John, let's get into the elephant in the room, and that is Fran McCaffrey ejected from the game. First time in 4 years he has been ejected. There's growing concern, I know, from Hawkeye fans just when these things come up and how it paints the program in a negative light and things like that. You talk with Fran a lot. You're there at the press conferences. You're there post-game. You know Fran. And the thing, Fran's such a smart guy. He went to the Wharton Business School at Penn. I mean, this is a smart guy. But the way that the temper just goes from 0 to 60 in a blink of an eye, that's the thing I keep coming back to. It just feels like he doesn't know how to work refs the way that most everybody in college basketball is. And I don't think that's going to be changing at 58 years of age, is it?
No, but I think at the same time, I mean, there are certain guys in this league that he has different sort of relationships with. There are certain officials in this league that he has different sort of relationships than us. And that's not just Fran. There are other coaches. I have seen this in other leagues, you know, where coaches have problems with certain officials and vice versa. Last night was kind of a perfect storm because there were a couple of guys there that he's had some run-ins with before. And part of this is if they're 15-2 last night, he probably doesn't get thrown out. You know, they're 9-8. They're struggling. He's frustrated. And then you have the way that game was called. It just was a perfect storm of this was going to happen. And honestly, he was very close to getting the T in the Ohio State game. So you can kind of see the frustration is building up. And then when you have a combination of an official or two that you've had some run-ins with before, you have the fouls that didn't get called last night, this was going to happen. And, you know, I've said this before about him. Fran McCaffrey sticks up for his players. You know, he doesn't throw them under the bus in the post game. He doesn't, you know, and so that's what you're going to see out of him. Does he, you know, I think he probably regretted the second one.
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell the first one was coming. You know, it's there was a body of work in that game, and you could tell it was coming. So, like I said, I think the first one came, and then the second one came real quick, and I think that was the one he regrets.
John, this is kind of what I have gleaned from the Hawkeye fan base, is that when the Hawks are winning, and you referenced it, if McCaffrey goes off, he's standing up for him. now right. that they are struggling to win. Now when he goes off, he's a flaming buffoon because he just took two technicals and got ejected. Is he just right. kind of walking the fence here with the fan base? That's it?
Well, I think, you know, again, they're angry. They thought this team was going to be better. And let's be honest, we all thought this team was going to be better.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I think they thought, okay, this is the team that went to the NIT. You got pretty much everybody back. You know, so there's the frustration there in the fan base. Again, perfect storm. You know, they're in a losing streak. You know, they're playing in a frustrating game like last night. You know, people are angry at certain players and at Fran. And so then he gets thrown out. Well, now all of a sudden it's a big issue. Again, if they're 15-2 last night, that game happens, he gets thrown out, very few people are saying it. So, again, you know, it's the record right now. Everybody's really feisty right now, I think is probably the best way to put it. And so that just magnified everything last night.
Well, it is a team that you know well on the other side of the border from you over there in Burlington, John. Illinois coming up, and, well, there are no ties in college basketball, so somebody has to win, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, they have had their issues. And, again, they've got a new coach, you know, another team that's trying to find an identity at this point. Brad Underwood, I covered him when he was assistant coach at Western Illinois. You know, I've watched him from afar with the T's coach. He's really good. He knows what he's doing. But this team, and I'll tell you what, going back to him, you know, a fiery coach on the sidelines, go back and look at some of the things, the way he's acted at some point during the year. He's one of these guys that's a lot like Fran. He's going to stand up for his players. He's a very intense guy that I think is going to do a really good job. But right now, it's a program that's still kind of trying to find an identity under him. And so, yeah, somebody's got to win on Thursday night, and it's, you know, so we'll see what happens. It'll be an interesting game, I think.
John, as we take a look at the Big Ten as a whole, Ohio State, with what they did at home against Michigan State, they beat the Hawkeyes in Carver Hawkeye Arena a couple of nights prior to that big upset yesterday. Why is this team doing so well when it was picked with a new coach to be middle of the pack or even lower?
Well, I think they've bought into what Chris Holtmann's doing. And, you know, he's a really good coach, and I think he's really kind of related to the players and has done some things. I mean, the way they played at Iowa, they played a really, really good game, and then they followed it up yesterday with just absolutely.
To get your thoughts on the football decisions from last week, Joshua Jackson, certainly no surprise, but your thoughts on James Daniels, a guy that's a center, not exactly a coveted position at the
right.
next level. How much do you think that his injuries that he played with during the course of his 3 years, was that a big factor in him deciding to make the jump?
Well, sure it is. I mean, if I am a lineman, offensive or defensive lineman, and I have a chance to go to the NFL and I know I'm going to be drafted in the first, you know, three, maybe four rounds, which I think is where he's going to be, I think you got to go. I mean, I don't think you want to take the risk of injuries. You know, the position you play with the collisions and all that, there's not a very long shelf life. And so I think this was an opportunity for him to go. I think that he saw, you know, I mean, I think he saw an opportunity, and I think he took it, and he should. I totally understand that, and I think he will do well at the next level. I think it's, you know, everybody's looking for good offensive linemen, especially young ones, because of the short, like I said, the short shelf life. And so I think he's got a very good opportunity to stick and play for a while in the league.
John, another follow-up on the football. This team now, with what is coming back, could they look for something much better than a 7-5 record for next season?
Well, it goes back to, I think it just goes back to the line. It goes back to the offensive line. And I think it's, you know, that's why the James Daniels loss is going to hurt him a little bit, because he was going to anchor that line next year. So they're going to have to find somebody to replace him. They're going to have to find, you know, to where that line can be playing well, because that was part of their problem at times this year. So this wasn't a typical offensive line that Iowa's had. They're going to have to be better next year. They've got some good pieces there. It's just going to be a matter of putting them together to where they can get to an 8 or 9 or maybe a 10-win team. The key is going to be that offensive line, I think.
All right, Wise Owl, you keep brushing up on that basketball, and I'm sure it'll be blowing up again when we talk again soon here. Appreciate your time as always, John Bonecamp.
No problem. Have a good day. See ya.
John Bonecamp with the Burlington Hawkeye, the Wise Owl who votes in the AP poll each and every week, Jimmy B. And have you taken a peek at his poll? Anything jump off here? Well, you probably don't get the Burlington Hawkeye, so you probably haven't seen it, right?
No, I don't get the Burlington Hawkeye.
You
no,
should. You no. should.
I have a great newspaper. It is. I look at John's stuff a lot on Twitter. But, no, I haven't subscribed to the Burlington Hawkeye. I did take a hard look, however, at that AP poll, and you heard me reference Texas Tech jumping up like that. And it's amazing, Trent, because there was so much talk earlier about Arizona now turning things around. Trent, Colorado, who got blistered by Iowa, and you saw that team, and now beat Arizona and Arizona State in back-to-back games. How does this happen?
Road games and conference play, Jimmy B. There's a reason that major conference teams don't want to go on the road non-conference, and well, you're seeing a play out here. A lot of these losses are not exactly against the who's who of college basketball, including Colorado. I saw Colorado, not a very good team. But at home, things like that happen. And we saw it again this weekend. Well, let's take a break here, Jim. We'll come back. Put a cap on hour number one in the second hour. We still got a lot coming your way. We'll be talking with Tad Haslip. He's down in Atlanta. We'll get his thoughts on the national championship game and a little NFL talk as he's the NFL editor with the Sporting News. Wolfgang will be by. And we'll see if Jimmy B is going to go back on his pick. He took Georgia over the weekend on Friday during our pick section. We'll see if he wants to see if it, well, you can't change it in the book. It's locked in there, but at least maybe he can sound better after 0-4 on the playoff games, Jimmy B. Jeez.
I'm on fire. Well, wait a minute.
That's zero wins and four losses.
Yeah. Can you believe the Buffalo Bills scored only 3 points, Trent, and they covered the spread?
Yes. Yes to both of those things.
Scored 3 points and they covered. Wow.
That's what happens when you're playing Blake Bortles. I was waiting for it. I told you I was waiting for it, and I got it.
You were.
My opportunity to bet against Blake Bortles. And I get another one coming up this weekend as they win, though didn't cover. And now it's Pittsburgh up next. We'll have plenty on that. NFL Talk with Tad Haslip. We'll put a cap on hour number one. You can join us here, 515-264-1700. Back with more Jimmy B and TC.
News, talk, sports. Yeah, we got all that online at 1700kbgg.com.
Hey guys, Trent Condon here again from 1700kbgg. We made it. A new year upon us. A happy 2018. I know a lot of people have New Year's resolutions, things you want to improve upon, but a lot of times you need help. If better health is one of your goals in 2018, I have a place for you that has helped me. It's New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness has built a strong history helping one patient at a time. They'll make a program specifically designed for you, from weight loss, hormonal treatment, maybe it's migraines. So many things that New Leaf Wellness can help you with in 2018. What I want you to do, give them a call today, 515-650-1358. That's 650-1358. Give them a call. Let's feel better together. New Leaf Wellness, 650-1358.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
Sponsored by Dell. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with the Intel Core processor for your business? Call 877-BY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor.
Derry's not like any time I've ever been in before.
Own the movie It on digital and Blu-ray.
My grandfather thinks this town is cursed. All the bad things that happen in this town are because of one thing. An evil thing.
A clown.
If we stick together, all of us will win.
Own the digital movie now and on Blu-ray January 9th. Rated R.
We all float down here.
Get organized inside and out at the Store More, Save More event going on right now at the Home Depot.
It's easy to declutter with Sterilite 64-quart latching totes. They're a special buy at just $648 each. They have a new space-saving shape, and they're clear, so you can see exactly what you've stored. Storage needs come in all shapes and sizes, so do storage solutions at the Store More Save More event, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through February 4th, available in-store and online while supplies last.
There it is, the brand spanking new Holy Mother of Awesome 4K Ultra HD TV. With a gazillion pixels of super crisp resolution, you can see it in your living room. And then you see the price. Your hopes are officially dashed. Don't let those big box retailers give you static. Swing by Rent-A-Center or go to rentacenter.com and get the big brands you want for small payments you can afford, all without credit. Rent-A-Center. Big brands, small payments. Rental purchase transaction. See store for details.
Day 1, 2018. It's time for a new year, new you. Resolve to diet, exercise, make more money, whatever you wish. It's a whole new ball game, and we're giving away a kickstart. How's $4,000 sound? Yep, $4,000 to use on whatever you need to start off the new year on the right track. Be a better you in 2018 with a little help from us. Enter to win a new year, new you at this station's website.
1700kbgg.com.
My name is Natasha, and I'm with Home in Greater Iowa. We've been teaming up with Iowa Wild for 5 years now to host Pink in the Ring. If you've never been, this is the year. Join us at Wells Fargo Arena on Saturday, February 10th. We'll have lots of giveaways and a silent auction. If you're brave enough, you can get your head shaved or color your hair pink. After the game, don't miss the live jersey auction, where you could take home your favorite player's jersey. So come on out Saturday, February 10th at 6 p.m. Wear your pink and help us raise money for life-saving services in our area. For more information and to buy your tickets, go to homeingreateriowa.org. See you there.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at therookiesportscards.com.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Welcome back, everybody. We go till 6 o'clock tonight, the night of the National Championship College Football Playoff game, Alabama and Georgia. Trent, are you, I mean, look, you and I, this is what we do for a living, so we'll both be dialed in on this, but do you think the nation has accepted this game, or it can't be as bad as the few years back where Alabama beat LSU, can it?
Sure, why not? There is very little buzz that I certainly feel around here. It's ho-hum. This is what you're going to get when you have two teams from the same conference. It lays with the thud across the country outside of the Southeast, and I think the TV numbers are going to play that out. I'm not overly excited about it. I think it's going to be a terribly boring game. I don't see Georgia having a ton of success running the football against Alabama. Yeah, they might hit a couple of big plays, but I think this is going to be boring, 24-10, 27-13. I don't have a whole lot of confidence that we're going to have some entertaining, high-paced, fun back-and-forth game, you know, that we've grown accustomed to, and it's too bad. Yeah, it's a damper to put a cap on the college football season with a game like this. Man, I wish Oklahoma would have won. They had the opportunities but didn't get it done. Here we are. Georgia's good. I want Georgia to win. I want Georgia to win this game. I don't like Alabama. I don't like Nick Saban. I'm kind of resigned to the fact that that's what we're going to get, another national championship for them and a boring game to go along with it.
I'm kind of with you on that. I think that Alabama has the capability to win in a blowout. I think if Georgia wins the game, I think it's going to be close, like by a field goal, something like that. And look, Alabama's defense, even though they've lost a lot of defensive players, I still think that with what Georgia does with the freshman quarterback, and even though Fromm played well against Oklahoma, Oklahoma's defense is not Alabama's defense. You and I both know that.
No, it's obviously a lot different, those two sides of it. So I'm disappointed. I can't get excited for it. My wife likes Alabama, so she'll be excited. Maybe for her sake, they can go out there and do their thing and win. But yeah, I'm just not overly excited about this game tonight. But like you said, I'll be watching. And I know there's people that listen to our show for the most part are in the same boat. They're sports fans. They're going to be watching. We're going to be talking about it. But just around here, it's two SEC teams. It's two SEC teams. And people have gotten sick of the SEC, the hype machine that ESPN has created along with it. You know, years ago, the SEC, it was the far and away, during that stretch of seven straight national championship, it was the best conference. The thing that's bothersome is that's not the case anymore. It was 2.5 good teams this year, and then a bunch of sludge. There were some bad teams this year. The middle wasn't very good overall, but all that it takes is one or two, like we have tonight, and that's what you're going to get. Maybe that's the thing that's also disappointing. If it was a year where the SEC was really good, top to bottom, I'd be more excited about two SEC teams playing each other. And it's not a rematch, so that's a good thing. But just because the SEC as a whole was so down this year, that's another one that I think drags it down, at least for me.
I'm with you. And look, I know people will watch. If you're a college football fan like you and I, we will definitely tune it in. I mean, it is the game on the docket tonight. So I don't know. I hope that we get a good game, Trent. I just hope it's just not a slugfest, and it's like that Buffalo Bills-Jacksonville game at 10-3.
Yeah, let's hope that is not the case tonight. If we get another game that you have to sit through. Jimmy B, did you watch that whole thing start to finish? Did you ever find yourself fading away?
I faded on that one. I did. I just couldn't take it.
I had it on the whole time. Luckily, I had to try to put Ella down for a nap. That was a disaster, too. So I had it on in the background instead, which was probably a good thing. Well, let's hope a better game tonight. Coming up on the other side, we'll go to Atlanta. Tad Haslip's there for the sporting news. We'll get his thoughts on the game. Also talk a lot of NFL with him. Wolfgang will be around as well. It's the 5 o'clock hour next.
Talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC. Des Moines' savviest sports duo on the Big Talker. 1700 KBGG. At